so excited for all that God is doing, even in the midst of what's happening. God is so good. We exist to glorify Jesus. Someone say that. I exist to glorify Jesus. Amen. Amen. That'll help you navigate life, I promise you. That we exist to glorify Jesus, his greatest creation. As much as we can look at nature and see the beauty, that there has to be a God, looking at you determines we serve a good God. Amen. And so that's wonderful. That's really, really good news. And so this morning, I want you to know that I've been spending time this week just seeking the face of the Lord and wanting to present to you the heart of God. Because again, we exist to do what? To glorify Jesus, right? We exist to glorify Jesus. That means everything that you hear and that you engage in is to glorify him. That's not even in my notes. That's just free. That's just free. Everything you engage in, everything that you actually hear needs to glorify God, glorify and acknowledge Jesus. And so that'll help you when it comes to certain lies of the enemy, that when you recognize that this doesn't glorify the Lord, so I know it's got to be a lie. I think that's really good, right? Because if we believe a lie, we empower the liar. And so some places the enemy has in our life is because we have believed a lie, not because God wasn't faithful. It's so good. It's so good. And so what I want to do today is really just give you the heart of God as he has downloaded to me. And so all week I've been looking at this and just really trying to be relevant for where we are, but also get a revelation of where God has taken us. And so can I invite you to pray for me, please, that I'm able to do that which God has asked of me, is to be relevant to where we are without compromising the revelation of who he is and where he's taking us. And I think that that's what's important about effective leadership, is to stay relevant, to be practical, to bring it to you where exactly you're sitting. But at the same time, not neglecting or compromising the revelation of God's word that will bring about the tension, here it is, of transition and change. And that's where we find ourselves, is trying to be relevant to what's going on, to want to be used by God, to want to have a life of significance, a life of importance, a life of service, and at the same time, not compromise our agenda with the anointing that's on our life. Let me slow down because the Holy Ghost is taking me faster than my mouth is talking. That we want to live a life of significance, a life of service, a life that reflects good behavior, a life that actually is a life to be remembered, a life that we can look back and in our eulogy, people can speak and they talk about how our life really impacted them. Are you following me so far? That is what our children want. That is what our grandparents want. That is what us as humanity, that's what we want. At the same time, we have to know that the word of God is relevant even today. It's not archaic. It's not old fashioned. The word of God is still relevant. It is absolute truth in the 21st century with messed up minds. Crazy folks, right? Doing things that's jeopardizing society. Really, it's the enemy that's at work. And you got to know that because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power. And so in my desire to have significance for service, for a life of impact, I can't just rely on flesh and blood. I got to rely on the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, there is transition and change. There's a tension that develops in a life that wants to do that. And so as you join with me in prayer, that God will grace me to be able to successfully navigate this in your hearing, but also in your heart. Bow with me, please. Father, in Jesus' name, we so depend on you. We make this about you. You're bigger than the gathering place. Thank you for reminding us of that. that you're bigger than the gathering place, but yet you love us enough to enter our space. So enter our space as only you can. And help us navigate the tension of transition and change. We honor and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if we're going to look at this topic, this theme of transition and change, it is not just because I'm trying to justify a decision. It is literally trying to get us to understand the destiny of God. The destiny of God, right? The ability to affect nations. And so open your Bibles, please, to the book of Ecclesiastes. We're going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes. It is part of a collection of wisdom literature. It sits with Psalms and Proverbs, and it is the book of Ecclesiastes. And so we want to jump to a very familiar passage of scripture that has been placed on the walls of motivational speakers and preachers and just every human being, because it is a good saying. But more than it being a good saying, we need the revelation of God to realize what is God saying in this. And so if you're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, shout, I'm there. Okay. Well, it's on the screen. So if you're looking at the screen, say, I'm looking at the screen. Amen. I got to get everybody to make sure we're on the same page. I don't want to get ahead of you, right? So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read it from the translation that I preach from, which is the English Standard Version. I'll start with that. It says, for everything there is a season. For everything there is a what? A season. And a time for every matter under heaven. So we're going to be dealing with things under heaven. You see why we need the revelation of God? Because the revelation of God deals with things above the heavens. The kingdom of God, right? The New Living Translation puts it this way. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. So first we have every matter under heaven. But now the New Living Translation breaks it out and says, really, it's every activity under heaven. The good old King James Version. Amen. The original King James. Says, to everything there is a season and a time for every, here's the word, purpose. Under the heavens. You know that fires up, Pastor, right? It's that word purpose. And so this word purpose is not speaking to the original intent of a thing that comes from God. This is speaking about a philosophy of life under heaven that the writer is telling you that there is something he arrived at about life. So in other words, the purpose that comes out of God, so when God says, let's make man, God was the one that ordained the purpose for your life. Nobody else. Okay, what they say, God ordained your, say with me, purpose. The original intent in the mind of God that he made come from the heart of God where he says, let us make man in our likeness and our image. We are going to take a praise break right there because the mind of God told the heart of God, let's make man in our likeness and in our image. That's worthy of praise right there. I didn't say if you were born again to praise him. I said you got to praise him because he's creator of all things. Oh, my God. He is. And I know that there are certain churches that you can go to or maybe you've been to that exist where they're quiet. And that's okay to reverence the Lord and being quiet. And that's fine. But when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and when I think he's purposed my life, and when I think that he said, let us make man in our lives their image, I can't help but to shout a little bit louder, right? I can't help but not let the pigskin, the football, or now the March Madness, as my team is winning, I can't let my praise for the two be louder than my praise for the one who created all things. I'm sorry. I got to give him praise because the writer of Ecclesiastes is saying that life is difficult. But let's begin by recognizing purpose. And that the purpose of God, as you give him praise, allows the activity under heaven that you're engaged in to make more sense. So praise is a powerful weapon, y'all. It's a powerful weapon. It's a weapon that if we use it, oh my God, that God inhabits the praise of Israel. He said, there's a nation that can get my attention. And that was before Jesus in the terms of the cross and the covenant. Now he lives in us. And so we say it's not just for a nation, it's for an individual now. That God inhabits the praises of the individual who recognizes that life is full of God. And so the writer begins and he's saying that this is serious matter, serious activity. And we must know the purpose under heaven. You see, and I quote that throughout history, and I agree with this, that believers have faced change. But how we respond to what I'm calling life transitions, because as I was studying this, I recognized that there are multiple transitions in life. But the one that I'm specifically speaking to and the one that's really relevant to us, and I believe the one that affects every other transition, is life transition. That brings about change. And so he says, as I quote, both small and large. So we don't want to minimize the small life transitions. And we also don't want to neglect the big life transitions that affect us. For daily, you are making decisions. Daily, you are making decisions. For those watching online, you made a decision. For those who are here, you made a decision. I'm either going to come or I'm not going to come. My schedule is this or I've got this. We are making decisions all the time. And so we try to navigate what is small and what is large. We call that priorities. That's what we call those things. And so if you don't see that God is in the big and the small, why? Because you were created, you were designed, what? To give him glory. And so everything that you do, small or big, needs God in it to understand the activities under the heavens. To understand the activities under the heaven, you have to recognize that he's in the big and he's also in the small. And those are the people that you want to engage, because why? They're going through life transitions, and what they're saying is that no matter the condition, big or small, I'm going to give God praise and glory. Oh, I want you on my team. I want you on my team, because you understand weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning time. That's a different mindset. Come on, folks. That's someone that recognized in the small things, I'll give God praise. In the big things, I'll give God praise. So when I didn't have a house, I praised God. So when he gives me a mansion, I still praise the God of the mansion, because he's the same God who kept me when I was living under the track. Or under the bridge. Get off the track, under the bridge. Don't want the train to hit you. And so life transitions then brings us to this place. And so to stay in the context, because every text has to have a context. But if I can have liberty just for a second, not changing the word of God, but bringing something to your remembrance that he talks about this glory to glory. And so we're getting there. That's not our message for today, but we want to get there to understand that ultimately the transition, ultimately the change that God is bringing about is going from glory to glory, because you are designed to give him glory. And so God never moved off of that. Oh my God. He never moved off the fact that you're going to give him glory. He didn't move away from that. So every activity under the heavens, every purpose, every matter has to come about from glory to glory. From glory to glory. The Bible says in Romans, when he's talking about the Roman culture, he says they exchanged the glory of God. Oof. So they exchanged the glory of God. And so anything that we see, the enemy is going after what? The glory. He wants to rob God of the glory. That's called Lucifer. Satanic things want to rob the glory that belongs to God. And the Bible says he shares his glory with nobody. And yet we're hearing the word that Christ in you is the hope of glory. Do you know that as a believer, what you have done to the kingdom of darkness, that you have bankrupt the kingdom of darkness? You changed the economy because someone used to take money that didn't glorify God, was glorifying the world, that they get saved, and now they're using that money for God. You bankrupt hell. Oh, let me come over this side, because you got to understand that when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you shifted something. Come on. You bankrupt the economy of hell. Woo! And don't believe the lie of the enemy. Your life doesn't have value. Of course it does. You interrupted. Come on. The plans of the enemy. So everyone who comes to Christ, we say, you're welcome. Hallelujah. Come on, because you're bringing a gift that you used to give for the world. You're not going to give that to the body of Christ. We're going to get the glory of God. Let me go on. And when we understand that life's transition then are to bring about the glory of God, we then will embrace, someone say embrace, that our lives are to bless others who will face similar life transitions. So here's a secret. Tell the story so God gets the glory. I tell over this side. Tell the story so God gets the glory of your life transition. That you went from glory to glory. How did you survive that? My God, how did you overcome that? How did you break the curse off of your life? Come on. I know your grandmother and your grandmother and your grand-grandmother, but you are something different. Oh, I got a hold of God. And I recognize, though the doctor may ask the question, what is your family history? You tell them, blessed. Come on, somebody. You've got to talk crazy talk. Because they love to ask, what's your family history? Oh, we have a history of this. We have his story. And his story says, I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. I'm above and not beneath. I wish I could teach somebody this morning. Come on, I'm above and not beneath. Ah, I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed coming in. He promised to give me vineyards I didn't plant, houses I didn't build for his glory. Because we're dealing with subjects under the heavens, activities that are taking place, purpose that we have to be able to discover. And the reason why we do it, the reason why we stay in the tension of transition and change, is to be a blessing to others who are facing and have to navigate, if they're honest, the same things. I said last week, life is hard with Jesus. I didn't say abundant life is not available with Jesus. I didn't say that his life gives us eternal life. Absolutely. I'm talking about the under the heaven stuff. That's hard. Because the ultimate transition is death to our glorified position. And so we're going to be with him because he promised us abundant life and he promised us the everlasting life. I'm talking about things under the heavens that we just read. I'm talking about figuring out the purpose under the heavens. I'm talking about the activities under the heavens. The disappointments that take place. How do we handle, how do we navigate those things that bring about life, transition, and change? And so I quote, with the right approach, the right attitude, and action, life transitions and change can be manageable and even positive. But can I go deeper? They can even become prophetic. And that's what we're going after, is the prophetic revelation of the heart of God. Because we're not just going to manage life transition and change. You're just like the world then. It's not just positive thinking. It's prophetically living out this good gospel of Jesus Christ. It is not just being a hearer of the word of God. It's being a what? Help me. A doer of the word of God. Because the doer of the word of God recognizes that there are activities under the heavens. There are philosophies that people are living by as they're trying to navigate what's going on. And so you are the answer. Someone say, I'm the answer. Right? I'm the answer to people's life struggle. And when I mean that you're the answer, I'm not saying you're God. I'm not saying you're Jesus. I'm saying you're supposed to be like Jesus, who is able to help people navigate. Because we're going to see as we look at this Ecclesiastic that really, it's really about Jesus. Every book in the Bible is about Jesus. This book is written by Solomon, but it's really about Jesus. It really is. It's really about Jesus. And even Songs of Solomon is just giving permission about the love story. And we make it about Jesus because we just can't fathom God will give us a book about love, a marital union. It just doesn't make any sense to us. But those are issues under the heavens. Because there's no marriage in heaven. Those are issues under the heaven. And so he says, let me give you a book for how to handle your marriage under the heavens. That's what Songs of Solomon are. So that frees you now from reading your teeth is like a billy goat and your breast is like a this and your hair is a flock of this. And that's romantic talk. That's romantic talk, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's romantic talk under the heavens. All right. Under the heavens in Jesus' name. All right. Some of you just got free now. Oh, my gosh. Last week he talked about wearing Vaseline. Now he's talking about love stuff. What's wrong with this guy? Amen. So let's unpack this, can we? Because I'm using my valuable minutes telling jokes. So let me get it back to where it needs to be. So life transitioned and changed. And so one thing I've taught you over the last 7 years is simply this. Everything begins in where? Come on. You know we got to go back there. And so we're going to look at life transitioning change. Because remember, write this down, God doesn't change. So we can't go back to God and try to find transition. We got to go back to the under heaven stuff and find transition and change. And so it begins where we write this, if you're taking notes, right? The start of transition and change. Where did it start from? So when it's Genesis, let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. And I shared everything. I told you it was all for the glory of God. I told you everything about that. I was explaining to you. I was unpacking for you the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. And I've said over and over again, if you ever go on a mission and they say you can't take the word of God or you can only take three chapters, tell them I want the first three chapters of Genesis. Because every nation can be transformed by those three books. And so we look here and we see, because the under heaven stuff is given in the first three chapters of Genesis. Thank you, Holy Ghost. This is really good. Amen. Amen. Almost at the level of Richie's message. Amen. Praise God. Working on that. Right. So it's Genesis chapter 3, 7 and 8. He says, watch this now. He says, the eyes of what? The eyes of, they said the eyes of Adam was open. Is that what it says? No. The eyes of what? Both were open. And they knew that they were naked. Change. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves lion claws. Condition. And so we're seeing this transition now from where there was this understanding that they lived in the revelation of God. So there was no shame. There was no guilt. They lived on the revelation of God under the heavens, mind you. With Satan there. Lucifer fallen. That they were living in a state under the heaven, in the revelation of God, and there was no eyes were open. They were living in the revelation of God. They were living in the glory of God. What covered them was the glory of God. So when Adam looked at a woman, he didn't think perverted. He thought perfection. For the glory of God is what he saw. And so he honored her body. Why? Because it was the glory of God. And so therefore, we're dealing with things under the heavens now. And so we're starting with life transitions, because if you try to get life's transition and change up over in the kingdom or up in the heavens, you will live a frustrated life because God doesn't change. Keep going to him. He's like, I don't change. Let me try next month. I don't change. Let me try next year. I don't change. You can't vote him in. You can't vote him out. He doesn't change. And so we're dealing with things under the heavens. And look what they did. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, because he doesn't change. And the man and his wife, look what they switched now, right? He now identifies, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Life's transition and change right here is where it started. And God has never changed. He's always looking to inhabit mankind. He's looking to commune with us. And he will not change. For all eternity, we will spend time with him. So if we're going to navigate life transition and change, let's first understand we've got to deal with the under heaven things, but we have to understand that the God who's above the heavens doesn't change. Doesn't change. Because you would try to then change him, and then you would become gods, knowing good and evil. And that's how a society gets changed. Because now words that meant something doesn't mean anything anymore. Because a God changed it. Only God can change things. Come on, that's why we build idols. Can I teach us like I feel it? So Moses now goes up. He's going through a transition. Goes up to the mountain. And he gives there's a transfer of power. He tells, because a transfer, we're going to get to it, is not the same thing as a transition. So he says, Aaron, I need you to lead these people while I go get transitioned, because we're here. I'm transferring something to you. They were going through transition, but he transferred something to Aaron, even though they weren't moving. So a transition doesn't always mean you're moving. Right? Because you can move and still have the same mindset. And we're going to see how it was revealed in the book of Exodus, where he says, I'm going to go up to the mountain because that's where God told me to go. Because I got to find out, how do I transition this millions of people who are getting on my nerves, these millions of people who are the ones that ratted me out, so that's why I ran, these millions of people that God says they're his people. These are my people, Moses. And so you got to love them well. And so he goes, okay. And so he now goes up and he's up in the mountain and he's getting a revelation from God to deal with under heaven stuff. And he puts Aaron in charge. And the people got frustrated because they assumed moving meant transition. And they says, we don't know what happened to this Moses. We don't know where he's went. So build us a golden calf. Come on. That we can worship because we want change. And lead us back to where we came from. My God. And from that day, we've been acknowledging the Golden Glove Award. Come on. Right? The Oscars. We're giving things out to celebrities. We're giving out things to people that we idolize. People that we look to bring about things in our life. We're simply just recreating the golden calf. Because the God of heaven is not listening to what I'm struggling with under the heavens. And so they understand. I'm not saying we can't look for people. Those, of course. Don't miss what I'm getting at. Of course. There's influence. I'm just simply saying they can't be your source. Lest you make them an idol. And anyone that allows the praise of people to make you an idol, you better tell them to stop. That's dangerous. Let me move on. So the start of transition. So here it is now that we go back to our text, because we have to understand that what the preacher was saying, the book of Ecclesiastes, what he was saying was that this is someone who's speaking or preaching to an assembly of people. One theologian says that the word Ecclesiastic means the preacher. It means the teacher. It could represent a pastor or a speaker. It is simply someone who works with the assembly of believers. And they're saying is this, so Solomon, who's the writer of this, he said, anyone who will listen to me, I want you to hear this, because this is the ending part of Solomon's life, right? Because he begins and he says, God, I'm inexperienced. I don't know how to lead the people. David was my father and I don't know how to lead the people. And he says, give me wisdom to lead your people. And so now we see that what happened was that Solomon, because he didn't want to fight, he would marry other individuals and embrace those nations, and that's how he did it. And so he had a lot of wives. And the Bible records it for us so we can understand activities under heaven. Just because something happens under heaven doesn't mean that's how God ordained it above the heavens. Can I teach you like I feel it? Because if you don't understand, you read the word of God and you start to pervert things. Because you don't understand what God is doing and what God is saying. And so the preacher, the pastor, the one who leads you must always acknowledge, God, give me wisdom. Not education. Give me wisdom to lead your people. There's no way on the planet that we can step into this next assignment without the wisdom of God. It is. There's no way. There's no way we can do that. There's no way that you can also transition to what God has for you and us as a corporate body if we don't understand the fact that we need wisdom. And so here was Solomon says, now listen to me. This is the latter part of my life that I've navigated things, and I want to be a blessing to you. And so he comes and he says, listen, anyone who will listen, because here it is. Solomon is someone who's been collecting. He's been examining the philosophies of life. He's had experience with these multiple nations that he's married into. And he says, let me tell you something. Out of all the philosophies of life, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. He brings us right back to what it really needs to be. And he says this now, because when you start with life, it's meaningless. It's vanity. It's meaningless. But at the end in chapter 12, he says, here is the conclusion of the matter. TGP, here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. In the things under heaven, fear God. Reverence God when you're living under the heaven. Because you have to recognize, oh God, keep his commandment requires revelation. It requires revelation. And so the first thing we understand, he's saying, who is searching? Who is searching for life transition? Who is searching to go to the next level? Come on, somebody. Who is searching to go to the next level? As PT talked about, it's not next level, new devil. No, it's another grace. It's going to that place of another grace, right? Great prophetic word, PT, by the way, right? Because guess what? The devil's under our feet, so I know how next level, next devil when he's under my feet. So it's a dimension of glory. You prophesy transition. And we go from glory to glory. And the way a church grows is we increase the glory of God. That when people see the glory, they run to where the glory is. Because why? I'm searching for meaning of life. And I realize now you guys didn't rob the glory. You didn't quench the Spirit of God. You allowed the Spirit of God to move. Why? Because there's issues under heaven that I need a revelation to be able to settle. So we have to recognize that. But see, even nature tells us that there are seasons, right? And so tomorrow, March 20th, is the first day of spring. Doesn't feel like it, but it's the first day of spring. So the calendar and the conditions are not coincided, but doesn't change the conclusion. It's spring. On the calendar, it's telling me that. But the conditions are telling me this. Whose report would you believe? Will they believe the calendar or the conditions? Oh, God. That's a good word right there. Good word. Because God says, in my season, in my time. But look at the condition. In my season, in my time. I wish I had someone that knows what it's like to wait on the calendar of man. But know that there is a God in heaven that says, I know the purpose I have for your life. Ooh, this is so good. Praise God. Preaching my glasses off. Amen. And so the thing about seasons and what's difficult is that there's endings and beginnings. And where we're supposed to live for all eternity, Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 3 brought in the ending and the beginning. Not God. Genesis 3 did that. Oh, come on. That we're to live with him forever. No death. And that's why Revelation says there'll be no more tears. Why? Because death has been conquered. Ooh, what a God we serve. Who keeps his word. Who keeps his word. Darling, who keeps his word. That I will, my word will come to pass in your life. And I'll prove it right here. In life's transitions and change, my word will come to pass. Because you need it for the seasons where the conditions don't look like what I'm confessing. And hence, that's why we need to recognize. It's not just my TGP. It now needs to move to TGP life. Because there's power in the word, right? And so for 7 years, we labored with my TGP. The gathering place, the gifted people, the grace people. The people who are doing life under the heavens. But now, God is saying it's time that you transition. It's time that you change now to TGP.life. To TGP that life. And that is powerful because, see, in the season of change, here's what he's saying. He's saying that you have to learn to shift. And to make adjustments. Write this down. In transitions, I shift, not my position on God, but I shift and I adjust. Write this down. I shift, write this down, and I adjust so I can be in alignment. Because life will try to knock you off course. And so I have to shift, come on, adjust, so I can be in line with heaven so I can get what it needs. And what makes us have to shift, adjust, to align? Because tough transitions require change. And it's not for the faint of heart. That is so good. Because here's why. Someone say, why is it tough, bro? Why, ask me, why is it tough? Well, it's tough because Jesus says the time has come that you have to repent. And so we realize now that what Solomon brought us to was this. The philosophies of life ends up with Jesus. And it's tough to transition and change because Jesus comes on the scene and he says now, lay your fears before the Lord. Because you need the peace to know that what I'm doing in the transition and change is I'm bringing about peace. I'm helping you to shift, to adjust, so you can align. And when people ask you what's going on at TGP, we're shifting. Come on. Hey! And we're adjusting so we can be aligned with what God is doing in our life because the greater is yet to come. That's got to be the heart of God. He's the greatest of all time. And so you see, great leaders don't just get up and announce change. Just didn't walk around and say, hey, change everybody. No, great leaders get up and lead towards transition and change. Repent. Oof. Change the way you think. Oh, my God. Because when you hear the word repent, you're on right to behavior. And God's like, really? No, it's belief. Because what got you in trouble was your belief about life transition and change. It wasn't your behavior. Your behavior came after your belief. Oh, that's so good right there. That's so good. I know I've said it over and over again, but some things are worth repeating, right? They're worth repeating. And so he goes. Now, Jesus comes on the scene in Mark chapter 1, verse 15 from the New Living Translation. Here's what he says. He says, the time promised by God has come at last. He announced the kingdom of God is near. So he doesn't just announce the kingdom of God is near. Okay, try to figure it out. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, hey, the kingdom of God is near. Figure it out. See you later. He says the kingdom of God, God's rule, God's reign, God's righteousness needs to affect every part of your life. And so he says it begins first by repenting of your sins, which is simply separation from God. It's going all the way back to Genesis. He goes all the way back to the start. When you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're not preaching to their present situation. You're speaking, telling them that from beginning of time, God made a remedy for you. Are you serious? Yes. So it's not what I'm currently doing? No. You're a product of rehearsing the curse. But God has redeemed you from the curse. Oh, my God. It's called salvation. Sozo or soteriology is the Greek word they use for that. And so with all that now, I want us to recognize, because when rumor starts to going out, when they start to ask the question, why is your pastor, why is God sent him? Or more importantly, why did you guys release him? Why don't you just hold on to him? Why you released him? That's unheard of. Why? We're a healthy church. And because you're so used to dysfunction, you start spreading rumors. There's no way that he's been released. There's got to be something in his closet. There's got to be something that's going on. No, this is what healthy looks like. Because we're going to navigate life's transition and change together. And so to be able to release so I can be received properly. Oh, my God. Some people just leave. No, baby. Be careful when these wandering people. Come on. Right? These vagabonds, right? These individuals who are not connected to nobody. The independent spirit of, no, I didn't live my life like that. I understand accountability. We're thinking down there. I said, you know which accountability that I have? I said, I'm accountable to the council. To the church council. I'm accountable to them. That's scary. Not because they're bad. It's just scary. Because we got to do some heart-to-heart conversations. My life is on the line. I'm also accountable to Mark who came last week. That's accountability. He said, I want to come. Okay, I can't tell him don't come. You're my boss, come. Then I'm accountable to the district council. I'm accountable to the board. Like, our lives are full of accountability. My question to you, who are you accountable to? See, repent from your sins. That's what Jesus did. There's a problem, and the reason why you've not been accountable, nation of Israel. You've done things in your own way. And so he's coming now, and I got to hurry. And he's saying this. He's like, so first of all, we have to let people know as people are talking, is this, no, we're an accountable church. Yeah. We will stand before the Lord. We will have to answer God how we navigated this. We will do it. He's trusting us to do it right. So I want us to have, as they would say in the political arena, that these are the talking points. If I wasn't a pastor. But I am. Amen, somebody. Amen. So when they start asking you, what's going on at TGP? Tell them, first of all, he's not retiring from ministry. No one retires from the kingdom of God. He's got way too much energy to be retiring, first of all. All right, doing cartwheels when we first got here, you know what I mean? And all the kind of stuff he's doing and doing his swimming, worshiping, you know what I mean? All that stuff. He's not retiring at all from ministry. As a matter of fact, he's got more energy now than he ever had before. He's not resigning. Ask the church council. He didn't write a letter of resignation. Say, hey, guys, I'm done. So he's not retiring, and he's not resigning. This is really about the Lord. It's not about Rowan and Megan. It's really about the Lord. Under heaven, yes, it's about them. Because, God, you bless us with a gift. But what you want us to do is to shift, adjust, and align with what you're doing above the heavens. So the next thing is I'm not being removed as pastor from TGP. I didn't violate the ministry ethics. I'm not being removed. Four Square's not coming in and saying, we're removing you. They can't do that. I mean, they can, but they can't. Right? I told people, I said, listen, they may appoint, but it's God who anoints. And so what we must understand as a church is we're navigating transitions. It's not about appointments, it's about anointing. And that requires tough conversations about transition and change. And so I held my ground because the kingdom needs for me to hold my ground. Not a denomination, the kingdom of God needs TGP to hold its ground. He said, we want someone who's anointed, not just someone you appoint. It's a good word. It's a good word. And as I was saying, I was frustrated. Every day I get up and I'm like, I'm done. I'm going to be honest with you. Every day I wake up, I'm done. I'm not going. He's like, what's your problem? Life transitions, God. I'm done. People are crying. I'm crying too. I'm not going. And he's like, okay, bro. All right, buddy. You okay? I'm like, I'm not. Okay. And so I was... I didn't even get to any of my notes. I'm sorry, media team, but I'm pouting. I'm not complaining. I'm pouting now. You see, I'm trying to shift it. God, I'm not complaining. I'm just pouting, and that's different, right? He's like, no, and so I'm going through emotional healthy leader because I told you I won't do anything or preach anything to you that I'm not doing myself. Let me rephrase that. By the grace of God, as much as in me, I never want to do that to you. And so we teach emotionally healthy spirituality, emotionally healthy relationship here. Like God said, that's what gives life here. And so I have to live it. So I'm doing the emotionally healthy leader. Because a healthy leader will affect the body, right? And so I'm like, Lord, I got to be emotionally healthy as a leader. And so I'm pouting. I'm like, I quit. I'm done. And he's like, look at the lesson you're going to be learning today. And it was ending and beginnings. I'm like, what? And one of the questions they asked was this. They said, from your past, from your church experiences, how do you handle endings and beginnings? And I said, I've never seen a healthy one in my life. I was either manipulated by pastors. I was either taken advantage of by pastors. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me rephrase that. I had one when I was in Canada, so my original, because if he's watching, lovely St. John. That's why I was able to come here. They released me from Canada to come here. But since I've been here, the warfare that has taken place, and I've never seen a healthy transition. It's covered up. It's masked. It's all that stuff. And I answered and I said to them, here's what my issue is. For the first time in my life, I'm seeing a healthy transition and I'm guarded. And God's like, that's what it is, son. You're guarded. Because you don't want no one to mess this thing up. And I said, yes, God. I said, I'm guarded. Because I'm not retiring. I'm not resigning. I'm not being removed. It's a life transition and change that's been brought upon us. And God said this to me, and I want to encourage you by this. He said this to me. And guess what, Ro? I said, what's that, Daddy? You're not running away this time. I said, why? He goes, you're not running away. He says, you're not running away. I'm like, God, that's it. He goes, you're not running away this time. This time you stayed in the fight. And you loved well, and you became vulnerable. And he says, you're not running this time. You're not allowing the lies of the enemy to cause you to run. He goes, you're not running. I said, God, thank you. He goes, you're not moving again. That's not what you're doing. Every lie of the enemy, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. He says, you're not running this time. You answered the call. You answered the call. And you see, not running away, but walking with Jesus is two separate things. And he's saying, TGP, walk with me. Because back in the garden, I walked in the cool of the breeze. And you ran away. But this time, Ro and Megan, you're walking with me. And the greatest thing you can do to honor us, the greatest thing that this church can do to honor us, the greatest thing you can do, yes, give me express gift cards. I'm not running away. I'm still shopping. You can do that. You can do that. Hallelujah. If the Lord leads you, get it. They jack up their prices, so I need more gift cards, right? But the greatest thing you can do for Megan and I is to walk with the Lord in the cool of the breeze. Is to walk with the Lord. Because we're going to get to next week why nobody wants transition and change. We're going to get to that because we have to deal with the issues under the heavens. And so today, this morning, those who are watching online and you who are here, God affirm, he says, Rowan, you're not running away from your shadow. And you're not running away from shame. You're walking with the Lord. And sometimes his legs are longer than yours. And when he steps, you got to take more steps to catch up. But walk with the Lord. We're not people who run away from stuff, folks. Well, we don't run away. No, 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 no. We stick together. We don't leave any man behind. No, we stay together and we walk with the Lord in the cool of the breeze of the day. Because the preacher said under heaven, there will be life transitions and change. But hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Hey, TGP, fear God and keep his commandments. For there's a time and a season for every purpose under heaven. And our purpose has arrived. Let us welcome God, who has invaded our space. And he says, I'm here to walk with you through this life transition and change. Because your pastors aren't running. They have modern example of how to answer the call. And how to be accountable. How to be honorable. And how to process my voice. To discern, it's the voice of God or the voice of the enemy. With every bow, every eyes closed. If you're here and you feel like you've been running, you're running away from salvation. Jesus says, repent. Oh my goodness, Revelation just hit me right now. Now I understand the story of the prodigal son. Now I get it. Now I get it. Now I get it. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, don't run away from salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this message of repentance for you. The curse has been broken. And in the days and weeks to come, we're going to celebrate the resurrection, the Good Friday resurrection. Come on, the curse has been broken. You're no longer bound. You now can be set free. Perhaps this message was shared with someone who loves you and you don't know Jesus Christ. And here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Give him your heart. And keep his commandments. Repent. If you're here as well and you're feeling like this transition is just not what I asked for, don't run. Stay together and let's walk with the Lord in the cool of the breeze. Because our life was designed to give him glory. The amount of people that call this place their church or know it's a safe place to come to, if they all would show up one day, this place wouldn't be big enough. Don't think small, folks. Don't make what you see here be the conclusion of what God is doing up there. That's for somebody right there. You can lift up your heads now, and I want you to know that what you look at is not always what God sees. So shift, adjust, and align to the things above heaven so you can see what God is doing in the earth.